up with great skill from him. To England, Mo Salah! Raheem Sterling! What a finish! What pure class from the Englishman!
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to the Premier Talk podcast. This is episode 15 of season 3. I'm one of your two hosts, as always, Andrew Mello, alongside with Daniel Barbudo. Danny B, how's it going, bro?
Andrew, I'm buzzing. How are you?
I'm not too bad, man. A lot going on in the Prem. A lot of football matches happening. Everything from UCL to UECL to Europa League. There's been a lot of games and a lot of things to talk about. So, Daniel, why don't you kick us off with this starting lineup?
Starting lineup, as always, we got our games of the week.
We got the Champions League, baby, blah, blah, blah.
Then we got the Europa League and the Conference League, the UEL and the UECL.
And then we got some breaking news today. Abramovich steps down as owner of Chelsea FC.
Big news coming out of Chelsea. Kicking us off, games of the week. Sorry for the nasally talking this week, guys. A little bit feeling under the weather for the last couple weeks. We got our games of the week. Manchester City versus Tottenham. Tottenham coming out and winning this one, upsetting league leaders 3-2. We got Kulusevski. He scored early. He put Tottenham on the board. Gundogan, he equalized before half. Kane came out in the 59th minute. He put Tottenham ahead again. Mm-hmm. And then everyone thought it was tie game when Mahrez went to the penalty spot, ripped one top shelf, 2-2. That was in the 92nd minute. Everyone's like, wow, City scraped out a tie against Tottenham. And then the main man, Harry Kane, puts up a brace for himself and wins the game for Tottenham 3-2. A massive 3 points for them. And disappointing from City. Disappointing not only because Tottenham has been in really poor form lately, but also because their gap as league leaders has gone all the way from, I think they were at like 10 points at one point or 9 points, down to 3 points after losing Tottenham and Liverpool winning. So big gap for Liverpool because of this game.
Daniel, did you see the fourth official in that City-Tottenham game? And essentially, when they scored that third goal late in the match there, Antonio Conte was going nuts on the sideline. And then you see in the view as well, the fourth official, he just looked sad, like he was on City's side or something. I don't know. So
he had money on the game.
There's a little conspiracy going around that the refs are in on this and trying to really help out Man City here. I don't know.
Who knows if he had
it was a weird reaction. He looked pretty sad.
I personally didn't see it, but I know where, but it's funny though, because like they're not really thinking about their, like, you know what I mean? It's just like he was kind of just like emotionless, so it looked like he was sad. I don't know.
It was a weird reaction. It looked like he was angry that Tottenham won. I don't know.
That's like
that was a banging game though. I watched that game. And for those of you that didn't tune in live, That was one that you really did miss out on. Yeah. It was a fantastic game. City had their fair share of chances, of course, as they always do. But Tottenham, man, they were just so good on the counterattack in this one. And it was a Conte masterclass. You know, he's doing the best he can with what he has, so to speak.
Yep.
And it was defensive football. Hold on. Really close down the center of the park and let them play down the flanks. And that's where most of the space was. But Emerson, by the end of this game, he was dead tired because he was just, the transition football was a lot on the wingbacks of Tottenham. So they really did transition well, and that's ultimately what helped them win the game, because they would stop a City possession and then try to go score quickly down the field right after. So and that's how they did score most of their goals, actually, in this one. Yeah. So. That was the game plan, and it really showed out throughout the whole game, and it ended up working.
This was easily Tottenham's best game of the year. And then if you go look at our last game of the week, it is probably Tottenham's worst game of the year.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about Tottenham Burnley just after this Liverpool-Leeds game. Liverpool leads 6-0.
Yeah.
Absolute destruction.
You got to feel bad for Leeds. I mean,
I feel bad for Meslier, however.
Meslier, yeah.
Massilia, yeah.
He's a young keeper.
He's a young keeper, and I think he's pretty decent. I can't lie to you. He's one of those youngsters that has the potential to be really good in this league, and I feel bad for him because his lead side, like, shocking. Defensive disaster, just disaster, and getting scored on six times is not something you want to face as a young keeper.
I don't know. This goes to show you something about Liverpool, man. They're not playing around. They're not playing around. And if I'm Manchester City, I lost against Tottenham, rather. And then you have Liverpool the same week, putting up six goals against Leeds. That's a statement game, if you ask me, because, to do that against any PL team is not an easy feat. And they did that quite easily against Leeds. So it just goes to show you that Liverpool are knocking at the door and they're not quite out of this race just yet.
In this game, Salah had two penalties, both converted for goals. Mane had two himself. And then the two center backs get on the scoreboard. Van Dijk and Matip, they both had one.
Yeah.
Destruction from Liverpool, something that they want to pick up and maintain for the rest of the... I think there's like 12 games left. They need to keep this form up. They have to. Because if they don't, City's going to run away with it. I know the gap is closing, and it's probably going to stay pretty close for the rest of the year. But if either team... If Liverpool drops points, City runs away. If City drops points, at least they have a small little buffer that they can hold on to. But who knows? This we thought that it was done.
Yeah, Daniel,
we thought it was finished.
Especially with AFCON coming around too, that was the moment, the time period where we're like, is Liverpool going to really prove themselves? And they did, because they're missing their two main mans in Salah and Mane that score so many goals and contribute so much to that attack. We really have to give credit to the guys that carried the team when they were gone. Diogo Jota had a fantastic couple of weeks there. Firmino was solid as well. So they really helped pick up the slack for those guys that were missing for the entirety of that tournament, because they both ended up in the final. So they're gone for the whole time. So they just did a fantastic job during that time period when the AFCON was going on. And they're a big reason why they're in the position they're currently in. And I also want to talk about... what's his name? The center back, French center back. Oh my God. Konate. Yeah.
Yep.
Top performances of late.
He's amazing.
He's been fantastic. I can't remember the stat. There's a crazy stat between him and Van Dijk when they're paired. They haven't lost a game yet. I think they've appeared like 8 or 9 times, maybe more now. And they haven't lost a game yet. They've just been so good together. He's really established himself as the guy beside Van Dijk. He's really beaten out Matip and Gomez. So I think right now he's really deserved that spot, and he's proving him his quite hefty transfer tag from a couple years ago. Yeah. So,
no, I thought it was expensive. I think we both did. I think that it was they probably paid too much for him. But you know what? He's looking like a very fine fitting in this side, and the record that him and Van Dijk have, it's not something that you're willing to spend the money if that's the record they're going to maintain. You know what I mean? Like, it's just incredible that those two, they're both massive. I would not want to be going up against those guys as an attacker. Moving on to the third game of the week, we're coming off of a Tottenham masterclass beating league leaders.
Good disaster.
And they go and lose to Burnley. Mm-hmm. Such a Tottenham thing to do. They lost 1-0 in this one. Ben Mee, he scored for Burnley, giving them the 3 points. He scored, I think it was like the late 78th minute, 78th minute.
It's a ball in the box. It was
ball in the box.
Poor man marking.
Oh, awful man marking.
Yeah.
And after this game, Liverpool went 1-4 in their last 5. Brutal. And their only win came from beating... I don't understand this side at all. I don't know.
Daniel, Conte came out and he spoke to the owner, Levy. So he came out and said in the press conference after that game, he wasn't sure what his future looked like with the club, yada, yada, yada. You know, the usual.
There's so many memes about it. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's just, bro, you went to Tottenham. You know what you're getting into. You know what you're getting
into. And he should know that they're going to have poor runs of form.
Yeah, like this is not the club that you're going to come in and do well with right off the bat, no matter what type of manager you are. There needs to be some changes. There needs to be a change, not only in player personnel, but just overall. The culture of the club, just a losing culture. You need winning players in there. There's only a handful of guys that I can pick from their roster that are actually winners, consistent players. Son, Kane, Lloris. Those are the three guys that I can wholeheartedly say that they're competitors. The other ones, you can't confirm that they are winners the way that those three guys are. So
I like in this squad, Højbjerg.
Yeah, Højbjerg. Højbjerg's good. He's good on occasion. I think that the thing with him is he's just. I spoke about him a couple of weeks ago.
He's a workhorse, and nobody else works
so, that. Yeah, exactly. Like he's the engine in that midfield. He always has been that guy, even since his time at Southampton. He's always been the hardest working guy on the pitch. That's what it always seems to look like when he's out there. He's another guy that you could give the nod to, but other than that, other than his ability to spark up some energy, he's an average player, an average PL player. Mm-hmm. But they need some game changers in there. At the back, they just lack so much defensive quality. You could see it. Hugo Lloris actually really did bail them out in that Man City game a couple of times. He had some fantastic saves.
But he blunders once in a while, which is what I don't like about Lloris. Just once in a while, it's just like, what is he? Like, we're talking about a world-class keeper.
That happens. I don't know. He's done it for club and country. Not for club, but in terms of winning trophies.
No, nobody's done it for that club.
Yeah, but... But in terms of having solid performance, he's always been a solid performer there. And for the national team in France, he's been a solid goalkeeper. So, I think the blame needs to be placed elsewhere, for sure. So, it's not on those three guys at least.
Yeah, that is it for the games of the week. There's massive games coming up this week. There's the League Cup finals, which is going to be a huge game between Chelsea and Liverpool, but we're gonna get little predictions right before we go. Moving on to the greatest competition of all time, it is just the anthem is just like the greatest thing
Champions.
Ever. The Champions League,
blah blah blah, blah, blah
as Mo likes to pull out every time. Yeah, we got all these clubs, massive games. Just I love the Champions League. It's fantastic. I could sit down and watch Champions League, like flip through games. Like, I don't care who's playing. I'll watch it. I love the competition. To me, is just fantastic. You get to see new youngsters coming up. You get like ridiculous stats of like young guys that are like 16 years old that are coming to play in the Champions League. It's just ridiculous. And we had four Premier League teams playing. We got first game, City Sporting, absolute domination from City.
Yeah, I don't doubt about it. I don't doubt about it. Bernardo Silva went into the Avalanche.
Back into his Portuguese days. He was
and
loving
he
it.
He just, being a Benfica man at heart, he had to go in there and show him how it's done. And he had a fantastic showing. Two goals and assists. So he's been doing fantastic this season. Another solid game from him. And City were just too much for Sporting to handle.
Sporting is top of the Portuguese league right now, aren't they?
No, they're second place. They actually drew again. They drew today against Maritimo, a smaller team from the islands. They dropped points today. So I think they're currently sitting about 4 points back now at first place.
Of Porto?
Of Porto, so yeah.
Anyways, that was just domination there. They're going to win their second leg. It's obvious. Even if they don't, they're not going to lose 5-0. So you know what's funny? You're probably going to see a lot of youngsters coming out and playing this game because... Although they're like good enough to be playing, it's you're gonna see Pep rest guys.
Yeah, for sure.
They know they got the league to deal with, where they're only 3 points up.
That's at home too. So
yeah, they have the players that they can sit down and rest, and they'll be fine. Moving on to the second one, Inter Liverpool.
Daniel, in my opinion, of the first round of games, this was by far the best tie, by far. And what a game!
It was good. It was a good game. It was a really sick game. Liverpool came out 2-0. Yeah. And I think Liverpool was expected to win. I think everyone did expect them to beat Inter. But Inter isn't a team you just walk through. They're not at all.
It wasn't easy, Daniel. I was tuning into this game. And, man, that first 10 to 15 minutes in the second half when it started, Inter was all over Liverpool. Liverpool could not get out of their own half. Inter was just – every time they're coming down with possession, leading to dangerous goal-scoring opportunities. But then – the man, Jurgen Klopp, he had to move some things around, move some chess pieces around. Off comes Mane, off comes Elliot, and the last guy, I can't remember, was...
Fabinho, I think.
Fabinho, he took off the six, and then he brought on Henderson, he brought on Naby Keita, and he brought on the new signing, Luis Diaz, and man, boy, did that team look different from that first 15 minutes of the second half. They came out and really brought the energy up. Henderson was instrumental in leading to those two goals, just the recuperation of balls, maintaining possession, playing in between the lines. Did a fantastic job of that. He's much more mobile than Fabinho, much more mobile. Yeah. I think that's what helped and what you needed from the six and eight in this game. Naby Keita did a fantastic job too, very mobile center midfielder. And Luis Diaz, man, he was out on the flank, and every time he got the ball, he looked dangerous. Came in, cut inside, nearly scored. And that's what he brings to this team. A guy off the bench, takes off arguably one of the best players in the team, in Mane. Everyone knows this. Some even regard him as the best player in the world. So
he's best in the world.
That's my poor attempt at a Scouse accent. So
I'm being serious. I love that.
But he comes in and just he changed the game, and it was you know, a fantastic recognition from the gaffer to change things around, and it ultimately led them to winning this game, because it wasn't easy.
Yeah,
Inter were really coming at them. Lautaro looked dangerous.
He's a demon, that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And he was really pissed off when he got, because he got subbed off, actually, the Argentinian international. Yeah. So he was really pissed off because he wanted to stay on. You could see he was visibly upset. He didn't want to go over and shake Inzaghi's hand. So he looked pretty mad. So
on top of Klopp having just a masterclass like he usually does, it simply comes down to the squad depth that this team has. Like the fact that you're bringing on Luis Diaz, Henderson, and Keita off the bench.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now that they have ridiculous. They have that depth to rival Man City now. That's the thing. They have that depth. They didn't have
I still don't think it's City's depth.
It's not. It's City's not depth City's depth, like, but it rivals it now, at least. There's City's some
depth. You can like take their second squad and they can go finish third in the Premier League behind Liverpool.
Yeah, they could.
Like it's ridiculous.
And just to add to this game, I thought that I really love the leadership for Van Dijk. And we don't often get to talk about his leadership qualities because we always talk about his physical attributes and his ability to cut the ball and whatnot. But this guy's a leader, man. There was several plays because they just kept trying to go after Trent. That was the game plan. He was such a liability defensively, and they were trying to attack that flank, and he is. And that's what they're doing such a great job at. But just seeing Van Dijk get visibly upset and yelling at Trent to track back. And I just love that leadership on the pitch, and I love you know, that energy and passion he brought, and especially in that second half when they really needed it, and to really push Trent to drop back, because I believe it was Gosens on that side, the new signing, the German.
Yeah,
and
he's so good too.
He was just destroying that, and you know, exploiting that space behind Trent. So it was a fantastic job there to lead by example and lead through communication.
Just quickly about Gosens, he surprised me. You know where he like really surprised me in the Euros. What was it, last year, 2 years ago?
Destroyed Portugal.
On that Germany team?
Portugal. Yeah, he destroyed Portugal.
Oh my God, running down that left flank, he was ridiculous. Yeah. He was ridiculous. That guy was incredible.
Solid player.
And he's going to be good in the future. He already is decent, but he's going to be fantastic in the future. Moving on to the third one, Chelsea-Lille. Chelsea heavy favorites in this one. And they did what they had to do. 2-0 win.
I was expecting it to be a little bit tougher. It was not an easy game. The first... after Havertz got that early goal, it was a header, a very decent header. I really liked that finish. He headed it right into the grass and it skidded up and into the top corner. It was a decent header from Havertz. You could have had a hat trick in the first 5 minutes. This guy had so many chances. But
he was on fire.
I was interested to see the reaction of Lille and how they would react to the goal. And they reacted quite well, actually. Renato Sanchez was definitely the it factor for Leo. I didn't understand him playing out on the wing. They were playing him as a right mid and then switch him over to left. He needs to be played down the middle of the park.
Yeah.
And but anytime he got the ball, he looked dangerous. He would pass a couple guys. He had a ball in the first half right after that goal, actually, that almost led to a goal. He split like three channels on the field and just switched the play from one side to the other and found itself the ball being in the box. So just a fantastic placement of a pass. And nearly ended up in a goal. But, you know, I was interested to see how Lille would do after that goal. And they responded well, but then they just dropped after. They don't have that level to compete with Chelsea. In
the Champions League, they don't.
They don't.
But in the Champions League, completely. Like...
And Jonathan David, too, I was quite surprised. He was very quiet. And I think that, you know, when you play a lone striker against a three-back, there's not going to be much creation there.
Yeah,
they were playing a 4-5-1 Lille. And he really had no support. And when you're smothered by three defenders, it's really hard to create anything, to do anything It was just that game where Lille was trying to clog the midfield and hope they could get some transition play going. And it was just so tough because Chelsea were just so effective in, you know, winning back possession after they had lost it and just smothering Lille. So it was just a solid tactical performance. And all I got to say, the highlight of this one is that Christian Pulisic needs to work on his gritty a little bit.
Yeah, it was.
He's got to work on his gritty.
I saw it.
You know, if I was in a
frog hopping along the field.
Yeah, the knee side was solid. Eh?
Yeah,
after the knee side was solid. Because he scored.
No,
but he was just, then he stopped because he knew he couldn't do it.
Oh yeah, like one hop and that's it. He was done. Like, yeah, I think he might have got some yelling from his teammates there to relax a little bit. But I want to touch on Jonathan David because like I think he's class. He is, but he's a poacher of a striker where all of his goals don't come from his own creativity. He's a poacher. He's great at finishing and he's quick on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And those are his two main attributes. But you're going to be playing up against three center backs, just him alone up there.
Mm-hmm.
Very little is going to happen. Like very little is going to happen completely. And that's what happened. And it shows because Lille got shut out. And that's what happens when you're playing. They didn't match formations at all. I don't know who the manager is of Lille, but he didn't have the right lineup to be going up against a three-back Chelsea with just Jonathan David up top. It wasn't going to work. Last Champions League game, Manchester United versus Atletico. This one ended in a 1-1 draw.
Yo, my boy Jean Felix showed up, bro.
João Felix,
nasty.
It was gross.
Nasty.
He had this header from Renan Lodi who crossed that ball in. It was gross. It
was I was questioning that Renan Lodi playing on the wing because they had him on the wing.
Yeah, it was like a wing back though. It was like he was tracking back because they were playing five back too. So
yeah, I don't know. It was weird. It was weird.
I was
okay. And United,
he got man of the match too because he was amazing. He was so good.
He did play well. And I was so like, I saw the lineup. I'm like, why is Lindelof playing right back? But then right I figured back out they tried switching formation when they had possession. Yeah. It was weird. I didn't like that too much, Daniel.
A lot of people felt that it was because he had such a great performance midweek in the league. Mm-hmm. It's like they couldn't really leave him out. And right now, things been rotating. Yeah. Right, Ragnick. I keep saying Regsmith. You don't know why? Because the movie. he's like, I don't know, because like I think he's a good manager, but then you come out and like even Fred in his post-game interview, he was like, there's no play style, there's no like they don't go out there with stuff to run at or what to do. Like he just goes out there, you go play.
Yo, Rashford was like, shocking, eh?
He hasn't been good since his injuries.
He had a shot in the middle of the game. I was simultaneously watching that game while watching, like I was speaking over at the United game, I was watching Benfica play because they're playing Ajax at the same time. Shout out Benfica, 2-2. We should have won though, 3-2. Anyways.
I had money on Ajax in that game, so I wasn't happy that the Benfica coming out with the draw that lead, but it's fine.
Anyways, I turn over and I see Rashford trying to crank one from 40 yards out. I'm like,
oh,
what is this guy doing, man? It looks like Daniel, seriously, when you're doing something
that says
a lot about the team. That says a lot about the mentality of the team. And it's just like, oh, I'm just going to go let one rip from 40 yards. And it was such a poor attempt at a 40-yard cracker.
It was so bad that, like, there was, like, instantly, Twitter just blew up instantly after that. And it was like, people were like, is he switching from FIFA to PES? Because the shoot and the pass button flip from FIFA to PES. Like, he was shooting when he should have been passing and passing when he should have been shooting. Yeah. And like he hasn't made, like he's been poor, like awful. And I feel bad for the man because like of all the criticism that he had to face because of England, the whole penalty shootout and all the racism that he had to endure and all that. Like I feel really bad for him because like he was such a good player and then he had to go through surgery after that and all that stuff.
I don't know. I think it's a confidence thing.
He's been really bad.
It's on this team, man. I don't know. It's so hard to wrap your head around it because you say, oh, you know, the solution to this team is a coach. They got the new coach, okay? Oh, now the solution's a six.
No, the solution first was a striker. They're like, oh, first is a striker. You go pick up Ronaldo.
You know, there's so much. I feel like it's like, where do you even start with this team? There's like, what do you do?
I don't know.
They just get progressively worse and worse. It's like, who's going to save this team? Who's going to be that guy to change this team? Or what's the new acquisitions going to be to change this team? Because they suck, man. They suck. Yeah. And
back to youngsters. On Rashford, because on top of Manchester United second, they do have a little bit of hope. This man is a gross human being.
Yeah, he's sick.
Anthony Elango. And he scored.
That was a nice finish too, man.
Nice finish.
That looks like an experienced player's finish. You know,
it was Champions League debut.
Yeah.
First touch on the field.
Yeah.
And he put it right into the back of net, past one of the best goalies in the world. With just a tidy finish.
No, it was just a tidy. It was a tidy finish. Yeah, it was nice.
And he's saving grace for United in this game because realistically, Atletico could have had like four goals.
Oh,
they hit the crossbar once, post once. They got robbed by De Gea like once, twice. Yeah. They could have easily have ran away with this game.
Mm-hmm.
But United kept it close, tying it late on. And now they head back to Old Trafford to play the second leg. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Daniel, UEL. We only have one Prem team left.
We got the UECL. I don't know how I feel about the UECL, but
let me run through it quickly. So West Ham for the UEL, they didn't even play in the round of 32. They got a bye because they came first in their group. And they match up against the champions, the most consistent Europa League team of all time, Sevilla. So that's gonna be a tough matchup for sure. It's gonna be an interesting one for West Ham. I think they could do it. It's not gonna be easy though. Then to the UECL, the Conference League, Leicester City, they smashed Randers in the 32, round of 32 as well, or 16.
Round of 32.
7-2 in aggregate. They won their second leg 3-1. Randers is from Denmark. They play football in Denmark. And it was expected for Leicester to go on and dominate.
Yeah.
They now play the French team Rennes in the round of 16.
Rennes-René. I don't even know what's happening.
Rennes-René.
They're pretty decent in the French league. I can't lie to you. It's going to be a good match.
Daniel, just before we go into the next segment here, after the first leg has happened, you've seen some of these English teams play. Who do you think is least likely to make it out to the round of 16?
Out of Champions
League? To the quarters for Champions League,
For Champions League? Who is least likely? Yeah. Well, okay. City's automatically in for me.
Yeah, okay.
Liverpool is also automatically in.
You think so? Yeah.
They're going to go to Anfield. They have the greatest record of all time at Anfield.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
Fair enough.
Lille didn't show me anything that puts Chelsea's quarterfinal draw in Jeopardy. Up in the air.
Yeah.
So for me, they're a lock too. As sad as it is to say it, probably United just simply because they have the hardest matchup. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the only they easily have the hardest matchup. I don't think
it's the most even matchup as well, I believe.
Yeah. And look, they easily could have lost 3-4 in the mm-hmm. first leg. Mm-hmm. And they came up lucky with a 1-1 draw. So I think they're probably the least likely team to make it to the quarters.
Yeah, United are just so lucky, man. They'll find some way to squeeze by Atleti. And Ronaldo's got a great record against Atleti.
He does, but he was that's another man. He wasn't as bad as Rashford, but he's bad.
Yeah.
He had like four touches, I think, the entire game. Like, he did not get involved at all.
Yeah, not much involvement there. Daniel, next segment. Breaking news out of London. Abramovich stepping down as club owner due to the ongoing conflicts in Ukraine, with Ukraine and Russia. Roman Abramovich has stepped down as the owner after 19 or 20 years? 19 years?
18. 19.
19 years. He's won, as he's been an owner, the Blues have won 18 major trophies. That's a fantastic stat there.
Yeah.
All the recent year, throughout the recent years, all the successes, he's been at the wheel as the owner of this club. And he steps down, leaves it to the board now due to the ongoing conflict, like we said. And that's pretty big news, Daniel. Pretty big news.
It is. Because he has big ties in Russia to mm-hmm. the president. He was a former governor of Russia. And just with all, he was placed on the UK sanctions list because of the ties.
So he wouldn't even be allowed to go to games or...
He wouldn't be allowed, So he said that he felt it was best. They were forced to do this with what's going on mm-hmm. right now in Ukraine and Russia. And sending prayers to the Ukraine people because they're being forced right now to see and hear and be a part of something that nobody should ever have to go to. So sending prayers up to Ukraine because it's definitely a very scary sight in human history.
For sure, Daniel. That about wraps up for this episode. Daniel, I want to leave on a positive note here. Just a question, looking ahead to next week for the final. Who do you got, Liverpool or Chelsea?
You're not going to like this one.
You're going to say Liverpool.
I got Liverpool. I'm sorry. Liverpool, they've been sick lately. I can't lie to you. They've been amazing. The thing with Chelsea, though, is Chelsea always finds ways to win these finals. They do. They're one of those teams. They you let them squeak into the finals, and they're there, and they can feel it, and they take it. So
score prediction.
I got Liverpool. I got 2-1 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool.
It's gonna be close though.
Regular time.
Could even go. No, it's gonna be 2-1. I don't know about regular time or goes to penalties. Because does it go straight to pens? I believe it does in the cup.
I'm not sure. What I do know and what I am sure about is that my Blues, they're gonna be singing and celebrating into the night because they're gonna win this one.
It's gonna be a sick one.
They're both in form, Daniel. Don't sleep on Chelsea, man. Chelsea's been in form too. Okay, Lukaku's been absent. Okay.
Lagaga.
Kai Havertz has been playing that number 9 role fantastically. And
hang on, going back to Lukaku being absent. Are we going to talk about the man having 7 touches in a game?
No, we're not going to talk about that, okay? We're going to talk about the positives right now. We're talking about the positives about the team right now. Okay.
That was awful.
Reece James is expected to be back soon, hopefully, from injury. So I'm looking forward to
that.
And
he's a big part of that Chelsea side. He is.
But even though he's been absent from this, and Lukaku's been absent, even though he's been present, there's been guys that have been performing. And, you know, Ziyech has been good. Havertz has been fantastic. Pulisic's been good when he's come off the bench and, you know, in the games he has played. And then Thiago Silva, 37, just
he's a well, so good for his
this
age.
Team is just a well-oiled machine. They got some Rudiger old, is a they got some old parts, but well. They're still running fantastically. So yep. I think Chelsea's gonna win.
What do you got score prediction?
I'm gonna say 3-2, Daniel.
3-2.
Regular time is gonna be good because it'd be a lot of back and forth. That's what I think, at least. But anyways, 3-2, you say 2-1, Liverpool.
I mean, we'll soon find out next week.
We'll find out.
Daniel, all right, lads, Daniel, as always, you know what? Go follow the Instagram at Premier Talk Official. Hit us up, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you guys want to listen, we're there. We appreciate you as always.
Yeah, that about wraps it up. Thanks for tuning in as always, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care, everyone.
See you later.